But I do want to share another story that is a true story. It is a true story. And it's about a woman named Pam. And she lived in Chicago. She worked downtown Chicago, so she must have had an apartment fairly close to where she worked. So she always walked to work. So every morning she would walk to work, and she would encounter this middle-aged woman who had a shabby coat. And this person, this woman with the shabby coat, was soliciting for spare change in front of this old church. And she was so sweet, this middle-aged woman. She would always greet you with this big smile, and she would always say good morning. And Pam, every single day, would reach down into her purse, and she would grab whatever spare change she had, and she would give it to this woman. But one day, when she was going to work, the woman wasn't there. And she was wondering, where did she go? And so weeks went by, and she never saw the woman. But then one morning, one beautiful morning, she's walking on her way to work, and sure enough, here's that middle-aged woman with the shabby coat standing in front of the same church. So Pam, in her usual thing, goes to reach in her purse for change to give to this woman. But the woman stops her, and she says, thank you for helping me all those days, she said, but you don't need to help me anymore. I've got a job. With that, the woman, the middle-aged woman, reached in her bag, and she pulled out a wrapped gift, and she gave it to Pam. You see, she had been standing at the usual spot, waiting for not a handout anymore, but what she was waiting for is for all those people that blessed her and helped her through a time that she needed help. She was blessing them back. And what she was handing out to all those familiar people that had blessed her, she was handing them a donut. It wasn't much. But the thing is this. She was thankful. And she was showing her appreciation in the only way she knew how, by blessing those that blessed her. And like I said, I believe that was a true story. Which leads me to the passage that I want to share with you this morning, out of Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 18. And it's a story about Jesus healing the 10 men who had leprosy. You know, at that time, when you had leprosy, it was incurable. You couldn't cure leprosy. And it was a death sentence. And the hard thing was, it wasn't just a physical ailment, but it was a social, they weren't allowed to be around people. They couldn't even be around their family. And the thing was, they were demanded or told that if you came near the community, you had to yell out, unclean, unclean, because they couldn't be around anyone for fear that somebody else would get it. So I'm going to start with verse 11. It says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. So these scriptures here are telling us that they went to Jesus, they asked Jesus to heal them, and he healed them. But then it goes on in verses 15, it says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. He wasn't a Jew, he was a Samaritan. Then it goes on to say in verse 17, Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Again, he's from Samaria. He's a Samaritan. Verse 19, then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Now, Jesus was happy for him. He was happy for all of them that were healed. But the thing is this, Jesus was so pleased when that one person, that Samaritan, came back and thanked him. That was the thing that meant more to him than the fact that they were healed. Only one leper came back. He caught himself in the midst of his celebrating. He stopped, you know, realizing he's healed. He's celebrating that he's healed. But he stops in the midst of his celebration and goes back to Jesus and he thanks him. And that's what we need to do. Just as the leper was compelled to go back and thank Jesus, we too need to be compelled every single day to sit back and review our day and go before the Lord and say, thank you. Thank you. Now, to thank Jesus is to glorify God, because that's what it said in Luke 17:18. It says, has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? So right there it's saying that when we thank Jesus, we are also thanking God. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So God gives us opportunities to be thankful, even when we don't see any changes in our circumstances, even though we don't see a moment where we can find joy. When we are experiencing a sad time in our life, we're going through a hard season in our life, even then we are to thank the Lord. We are to thank him. And the reason I say that is because when you are thankful anyway, in any situation, that's the very definition of faith. When you can continue to thank the Lord no matter what you're going through, that you can continue praising him and thanking him, that's the definition of faith. If you thank and praise God only in the good times and in the good situations, sure, he appreciates that. But are we talking faith here then? No, we're not. But when we still have a hope that as we praise him and we thank him that he is the same God yesterday, today, and forever, that he will continue to work on our behalf no matter what we're going through, no matter the valleys that we're going through, he will be there for us. And as long as we stand in faith and as long as we are obedient, then we're going to hear and see God move on our part. So those 10 lepers weren't healed until they were told and instructed to go to the priests. They weren't healed when they said, we want to be healed. He didn't heal them and they were cleansed right then. What they did was they were going towards the city, towards the town, and they were going to confront the priest. That's when they were healed, because they followed the instructions of what Jesus told them to do. They had no doubt that when Jesus said, go and present yourselves before the priest, that they were going to be healed. So when we step out ahead of what we, when we don't see it, when we are thankful ahead of time, then we will see God move on our behalf. When we sit back and we start reviewing some of the things that we should be thankful for, how about our salvation? How about our faith? That faith that we've got is a gift from God. That was given to us freely. How about the Word of God? How about God's love and his compassion, his mercy, his grace, his creation? These are just a few of the things that we can stop and start taking in and saying, I've received these gifts today. How about faithfulness, his faithfulness to us, that he is the same God yesterday and today and forever, that he's no respecter of persons, that he hears all prayers. These are so many things that we can be thankful for. Our provision, that he provides for us. that he has sent his son Jesus to take our place. That his blood helps us to come before the Father because it has washed us white as snow. That we can stand before the Father in righteousness. These are things that we can be thankful for. That he sent Holy Spirit to live and dwell in us. Not to just live and dwell in us, but to lead us and to guide us into the direction he wants us to go. That he helps us be sensitive to the things Holy Spirit wants us to do. Now, there was a family that gathered together for a Thanksgiving meal. And as they were gathering together and they reached out and took each other's hands, they wanted to share what they were thankful for before they started their meal. And there was a 3-year-old little Joshua who said, "I'm thankful for music." And another little 4-year-old little boy, Nathan, he said, "I'm thankful for horses." But a 5-year-old Stephen said, "I'm thankful that Jesus loves me so well." Wow. That Jesus loves me so well. That Jesus showed his love by dying on the cross for me. That's a 5-year-old that understands what Jesus did for him. So not just for the month of November, and now that we're in November, that we should be thankful every day, not just for this month. It's a time to have an attitude of gratitude. A grateful heart is like a magnet. And that as we go through our day, that grateful heart, being a magnet, will pick up and collect all the many things and collect them and show us the things that we could be thankful for. A grateful heart finds peace in every situation. An attitude of gratitude is when we choose to be grateful every single day. And that's when we can develop a ministry of appreciation. Amen? So not only does God deserve our love and our worship, he also deserves our thankfulness. He deserves our thankful hearts. Everything that is good that we have, we know, comes from God. And with all that God has given us, showing him our gratitude by thanking him should be as natural to us as breathing. When we first wake up in the morning, thank you, Father, for a restful night's sleep. Even though it might not have been as much as you would have liked, thanking him for your warm bed, for a roof over your head. Thank him for protecting your family. Thank him for an opportunity, like Glenn says, to wake up the next day and do what the Lord has asked you to do. Thanking him just because you know that he sent his son for you. If you'd have been the only person on this earth, he would have had his son do the same thing. That God loves us so much that he gave his only son for us. There's so many things that we can be thankful for. And again, as we do that, it should be as natural as breathing. And we need to respond to God's gracious gifts by expressing our gratitude and thanking him and all that he has done. In Jesus' name, amen.